He is immortal. Born in the Highlands of Scotland 400 years ago, he is not alone. There are others like him. Some good, some evil. For centuries, he has battled the forces of darkness, with holy ground his only refuge. He cannot die unless you take his head and with it his power. In the end, there can be only one. He is Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, Season 2, Episode 13, Bless the Child. And with you, going through episode by episode, I am your host, Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis. And joining me, my co-host, the one, the only, Audie. Audie, how are you doing this week?
Doing good, Travis. Been a good week. It's the week following Easter, which is, my wife's a pastor, so it's like Super Bowl level event for her, so
right,
a lot better today.
Yeah, a lot of prep and a lot of stuff to do all last week, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yep. Well, good. We got a kind of a forgettable episode, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Yeah. Normally we have Watcher Chronicles, but there isn't one for this. I did some digging and I couldn't find one, so maybe it's because they were off in the middle of the woods and didn't have a tail. I don't know. But no Watcher Chronicle this week. So we're just going to dive right into the actual episode itself. And that goes a little something like this.
I don't think you're seeing the big picture here, Luke. What's 12 head of cattle?
18 head, Billy.
Okay, 18, whatever, compared to 20 tons of gold ore from that mine.
So we open on a couple of men arguing in a cabin about a mine and some dead cattle. And then the woman runs off with a baby, hops in the truck, and drives away.
Right.
The next morning, we see Duncan and Charlie, and they were camping, and Charlie's complaining that their car broke down, so that's why they're not sitting at a diner right now. Mm-hmm. And Duncan's giving him some trout and jam, which I think is a great, a wonderful breakfast.
I would have eaten it.
Yeah, I would have too. So then they hear a truck, and they look over the ridge, and they see this vehicle, and it's driving erratically and super fast down like a mountain road when it veers off and crashes. Mm-hmm. So Duncan and Charlie, being the guys that they are, they rush off to help, and they pull they pull the woman and her baby out of the truck right before it explodes. Right, nice big violent explosion. They get her back to the campsite, and she tells them that there are men after her for her baby.
Right,
that's the important bit, is they want her baby, and she doesn't want to give that up. Next thing we see is three men. The men from the beginning of the episode, and they drive up and they're inspecting the crash. So Duncan decides he wants to go down and try and talk to him, see if he can talk some sense into him. The woman, Sarah, is, of course, very much, no, you can't do that. It's not going to do any good.
Right. Turns
out she's kind of right, because Duncan goes down to talk to him and they just shoot at him, like, immediately.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No questions asked, not, you know, there's a who are you followed by let's just shoot him. So Duncan, Charlie, and Sarah take off into the woods on foot, and the men chase after him. But Duncan being Duncan, he can, of course, give all sorts of sign, make it so that trackers can't really track him, that kind of thing. And he sends Charlie and Sarah off. He doubles back. He throws them off the trail to the point where the kind of leader of it, Avery, he says, well, I'm going to go back and get the dogs. You two stay here and keep looking for him. That's when we have, and these three are brothers, by the way. And then we have the youngest brother, the two of them that were arguing at the beginning, Billy and Luke. Billy shoots his brother over apparently whatever the mine issue was that they were arguing about earlier. When right. Avery comes back, he tells him that Duncan had done it. So, they're basically there's a long stretch where Duncan, Charlie, and Sarah are on the run and trying to get away from the brothers and their dogs. They find a cabin in the middle of the woods, in really good shape, by the way. So I wonder who lived there.
Yeah.
It almost
seemed like a refuge kind of place for anybody to come along.
Yeah, I guess that could be. That could be. But they stay there for the night. We have a nice scene where Duncan and Charlie are taking care of the baby while Sarah sleeps. Charlie sees how good Duncan is with the kid, changing the diaper. And, you know, it's brought up, why doesn't Duncan have kids? Charlie's asking him about it, telling him he'd make a great father, which, of course, you know, sets Duncan off a little bit because he can't.
Right.
And then they're startled and have to leave the cabin because of a bear. A bear that can open doors, by the way. I'd like to point that part out.
Yeah.
Because that's an important bit.
I was going to say, Charlie, why didn't you lock that door when you came running in, dude?
Yeah. What was he doing outside, and why didn't he lock the door? So they leave the cabin, and they're back being chased. They end up having to climb up a sheer rock wall in this like valley or wherever they're trying to get through. And they get pinned down. The men, the Hoskins brothers, kind of find them, pin them down. Duncan crawls back down and has a discussion with Avery. They talk things out, but before Duncan can get back up to Charlie and Sarah, Billy has rappelled down from the top of the rock wall and confronted them. He's trying, because he apparently has something to do with this mine. It's, I guess, a gold mine, or he thinks it's a gold mine.
He tries to get the gist that he was in charge of the mine.
Right. He tries to get the baby. Avery shoots him. He falls to his death, and Duncan convinces Sarah to give the baby back because, hey, guess what? It's not her baby. Her child was a daughter and was actually killed from mercury poisoning, presumably from the mine. So it all works out that Avery gets his child back, and because Duncan was so convincing, doesn't press charges to Sarah. Sarah apparently just goes on about her life. And that's it. That's the end of the episode. There's a bit to talk about here, but I do want to start with our special guest for the week. So let's go there.
Yep. I gotta go.
15 minutes, and she'll be running as good as new.
15 minutes, I can't wait.
What's your hurry? It's 45 miles to the nearest town.
They are coming to take my baby, okay?
So special guest this week, kind of. We don't really have like a... There's no evil immortal or other immortal at all. So sort of our closest to a special guest is Ed Lauder plays Avery Hoskins, who is the father of the child that Sarah takes.
Right.
And Ed Lauder, I've seen in a lot of stuff. He's always played a lot of bit parts. He was on a couple episodes of Psych that I really enjoyed. He was in the number 23 Talladega Nights. You know, he's shown up in a lot of stuff, and he's fine. There's nothing wrong with him at all. He's not given much of anything to do in the episode, really. And the characterization of Avery is odd, right? Because the episode starts off and the two other brothers, Billy and Luke, both of whom are actors that have been working ever since, but I have no idea who they are. But the two of them are arguing over the mine, right? So Billy's telling Luke, you know, who cares about your cattle? We have 200 tons of gold in here, which is like, no, you don't. All right. First off, but, and Avery sort of seems, they're like, they don't want to tell Avery about the cattle and the mercury.
Right.
So either there's more to that story that we don't know, or there's nothing there and it's just pointless. I lean towards that, but Avery doesn't seem like a bad guy, but then as soon as Duncan shows up, his first move is to have his brother pull a gun on him and point the rifle at him and shoot at him, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
And then
not first characterization up to this point, and what we get later, it seems really weird.
Right. If that's his first move when he meets Duncan, because he's like, who are you? Duncan says, you know, I'm with Sarah, blah, blah, blah. And his first thing is like, okay, we're not going to ask questions. We're just going to kill you and get to her.
Right.
Then spends, you know, the entirety of the episode chasing them down, including believing that Duncan kills his brother, doesn't shoot him immediately the next time he sees him.
Right.
And then is willing to listen to Duncan and believe him when Duncan's like, look, this woman is grieving because of the loss of her child. That's why she stole your child, and comes around in the end. So
believe Duncan enough that he's willing to shoot his own brother.
Yeah, exactly. And then shoots his own brother. So it's like the characterization of Avery Hoskins was just all over the map. Like, is he this bloodthirsty, ruthless guy, or is he a good person at heart? You can't really have both. It does. You can't. I mean, yes, technically you can, but it just doesn't feel right.
Right.
And the thing with it is like Ed Lauder, with what I've seen him in, he should be the version of Avery that's at the end of the episode and be reasonable.
For sure.
And if that's what you're going to do, and you have an actor that has that kind of presence, do that throughout the whole thing. Have him questioning Billy throughout the whole thing. Something. So, yeah, Ed Lauder's fine with the material that he was given, but he just wasn't given anything, and nobody else is either. Everybody's two dimensional. Even Sarah, who is another actress that or actor that has been in plenty of things. She's been Michelle Thrush. She's been acting up until right now. Like, she's doing things currently. All she does throughout the entire episode is say, "They're not taking my baby."
Right.
That's the whole of her character, is just to be this prop for the baby. The baby being a prop in itself and a plot device. You know, the baby is the MacGuffin of the episode. And Sarah is just there to give a reason for that MacGuffin to get to Duncan and Charlie in the first place.
Yeah. I think, too, the other thing that really kind of pains me about Ed Lauder's character is, one, is inconsistent, like we talked about, but two, he's a better actor than he was given room to work with
by here. Far.
Like, yeah, like that's the thing that surprised me most, is like, ooh, he's here. Oh, this is going to be one of those, the actors elevating the material. He wasn't allowed to, or something, like whatever way he was directed, he's just not doing it like I know he could. And I think the inconsistent writing is what kind of helps make that not happen for him, because it's so inconsistent. He's not allowed to be the stern person, the one trying to figure it out. Like, if he had been more questioning, been trying to slowly figure things out as we're going through these scenarios of trying to hunt them down, I think it would have hit a lot better at the end when he confronts Duncan. Duncan confronts him, and they figure everything out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no, we've mentioned it recently where we have very simplistic plots and the writing is okay, but then the acting is really elevating it. We saw that last week with the character of Mako and how he's very simple, but then the actor that's playing him just makes it that much better. No actor was gonna fix this material. There just was nothing there to start with. And the director, I think his name was Clay Boris. I'm not sure how much he had done prior to this, without looking it up, but
he did the last episode.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's gotta be something with writing. I don't know, but something about it just fell flat, and it's unfortunate because, again, it's a good actor that's getting wasted. Now the rest of the actors are fine, but they're also given nothing to do. So, and then, you know, on top of that, the other special guest really is the bear, who did a fantastic job with the material he was given. I mean,
oh yeah, opened that door like a pro.
I have to say, while there's a lot of suspension of disbelief for the bear opening the door, because Charlie did close the door and latch it, and you hear the door latch and then the bear come in. But I will give the show credit for the shot where Duncan rolls the jam on the floor. Because it's all a one shot. They were in the room with the bear.
Right.
So whether they did some forced perspective stuff or what, I'm not sure. But they definitely were in the room with the bear, because they track things over. And like that was kind of cool. But yeah, in terms of special guests, there's not a ton there. So, you know.
Yeah.
No, forget marriage. Marriage is a convention. It's an economic agreement that makes women nothing but chattel.
We do have a flashback in the episode. Flashback is in the 1920s, and it's Duncan at a party dancing with kind of a flapper girl. And then things get broken up by the police, so they take off. They grab a bottle of champagne and go hide in a closet. And the woman's name is Nora, and Nora is very much a 1920s gal, right? She's very open. She's very brash, doesn't question, or, you know, is willing to ask anybody any question type of thing. So they're really playing that part of it up. And mm-hmm. the two of them are rather drunk, and she confesses her love to him and that she wants to have his child. And once again, and the flashback is set up by Charlie mentioning Duncan, you know, Duncan would make a great dad type of thing.
Right. So,
of course, as soon as she mentions a child, Duncan turns all dour, gets upset, tells her she can't have kids if she stays with him, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Something about it just felt weird. Like, he's too vague about it, right? I feel like with Charlie and with Nora in the flashback, he never gives a reason. He never gives any indication as to, like, it's a medical condition or he's tried and it just never worked out. He's just mm-hmm. like, I can't have kids, and then gets all sad. And
right.
It just feels weird, and it feels really forced. Like, I don't know. I didn't care for that a whole lot. I think the flashback looked fine. However, I don't like the placement of it in terms of the era either. Like, I get, you know, knowing what I know now about, oh, they got all the early 1900s costumes and all of that, and for budget reasons. But they really should have, because this is the first episode that's been out in the wilderness since Mountain Men. The flashback should have had Carl the Hermit in it.
Ooh.
Because
that would have been good.
We've established that character in season one. You bring him back again in the flashbacks. Duncan's out in the woods. You could have something about Carl teaching him more about tracking, or something. Like, there's some way you could tie that in, and it would feel it was more in place than this shoehorned flashback that really only serves to hammer home the fact that Duncan's sad about not being able to have kids.
Right.
So,
which you didn't need a flashback for.
Right. Exactly. You could have done without the flashback for the episode. There, you know, we're already breaking the formula with no immortal and no fight and all of that. But yeah, that it felt like a flashback for flashback's sake. And all it really did was, instead of Duncan having the conversation with Charlie, it was Duncan having the conversation with Nora in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was also interesting that they did it full black and white, that they just didn't just tone it down, but they went full black and white tone.
Yeah, that was different. I don't know the last one they've done that with. It's usually always the muted, washed out colors and sepia tones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was weird. So I was just like, oh, we're just staying in black and white now. Okay.
I mean, on the whole, honestly, I don't mind that. I don't mind that part of it, given the era that they were showing.
Sure.
Because most of our visuals of the 1920s are in black and white because of the film that they had then. And that's fine. But it is kind of an odd choice to make when they haven't done it before. And
right. That was the only thing that made me bump on it, that they've never done something quite like this. So,
you know, the costuming looked fine. I just felt like it was out of place. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of it is I just want Carl the Hermit to come back. Like, I thought this was a perfect opportunity to have that, and it would have been really cool. Even if you can't get the same actor, just get another actor playing Carl. You know, no one's going to care. You just call him Carl. He's crazy and eccentric, and he teaches Duncan.
Yeah,
like, makes more sense.
Or just don't have the flashback and have Duncan explain to Charlie, I can't have kids.
Yes, that
because
too.
Reasons.
You hungry?
Yeah, hungry. I could eat a horse.
Well, not a horse this morning, Charlie.
It's trout.
Oh, careful, it's hot.
Trout and jam, man?
So Richie's off on his own, right? He had his first quickening, and Duncan basically kicked him out and said, you can't be around here anymore. Joe's not going to be out in the middle of the woods because it's really tough for him to get around on that uneven ground. Mm-hmm. So we get Charlie. Charlie's around, and Charlie's good.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense for Charlie to be with Duncan wherever they were going, which we have no idea why they were out in the middle of the woods. Like, they're just there because that's where the script was written.
Right.
To take place. But you know, I like Charlie. Not bad at all. He's helpful. He doesn't slow people down. And this was a big one. They didn't fall into the trope of Charlie falling for Sarah or something along those lines.
Right.
I kept thinking for some reason that happened, and it didn't, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
I did like the moment where Charlie is connecting with the kid, talking about when he thinks that it's a mixed race child thing, you know, saying yeah. like, I'm of two worlds too. And that was mm-hmm. a cool moment. And some of that was like, when you know that the baby isn't hers, you kind of read her body language very differently in that scene. But, right. you know, I don't know. I'm just really glad they didn't go through the trope of like, because we've seen it too much with Richie, where Richie immediately right. falls for whoever they run into. And Charlie, mm-hmm. Charlie genuinely just wants to help this woman and her baby.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he's also like level-headed enough to, he's not, if he had been in the situation where once he finds out that it's not her baby, if they reveal that earlier, which I kind of feel like they should have, you can tell the way they're writing Charlie that he wouldn't have just stayed with the whole, well, we got to protect her anyway. Like, he just wanted to do the right thing.
Right. And this is one of those episodes where I feel like it was written to have Duncan and Charlie have a whatever together, like have a good time. They're camping, you know, their little quippiness. They go back and forth. Like, it feels like the plot was written around having a Duncan and Charlie episode, which makes their interactions great. I mean, they're great together. Like, they've got such good dude chemistry, you know, good friend vibes throughout the whole thing. And then dealing with the baby stuff, you know, Charlie dealing with it. I'm a liberated man. Hand me the bottle. Duncan's like, you're holding the bottle wrong, dude. And it's like, yeah, okay. You know, I liked Charlie not being afraid of the baby, because that's another trope we see fall into.
Yep.
You know,
especially the manly man, right?
Right. It's like, I don't take care of babies. And Charlie's like, I can do this. And then Duncan's like, yeah, let me help you. And then
Duncan's like, well, you really can't, but the effort's there, and that's good.
And then again, they don't do the trope of Charlie immediately getting his getting butthurt about not being able to take care of the baby as much as Duncan. Charlie's like, wow, you're really good at this, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and they do that to segue to, you know, do the whole Highlander, you know, immortals can't have kids thing. Mm-hmm. But it was still done in a good way that I was like, these seem like two guys who know each other well, who are having a good time, you know, doing what they're doing together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like the plot was written around that. So it was, it's one of those where I really like having Charlie together.
Yeah, because it's going to be very different if Richie's with Duncan in this situation, mm-hmm. because Richie's going to have the hormones getting in the way with this young girl and her baby. He's going to want to do the right thing, but he's going to want to do too much. Charlie's just mm-hmm. like, we need to get the hell out of here. Like, we need to go find the police. Yeah. Charlie's smart, and he's written well. And you're right, bringing up the fact that he's not afraid of the baby, but he also doesn't immediately chafe at like somebody else being better than him at something. Like, Charlie's
right
for all the chip on his shoulder that he has from his upbringing, he's also very level-headed and likable, and so that's something that I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, like their chemistry is good. You know, they have a good friend, like a, it feels like a real friendship.
Yeah, it really does.
Right down to the end of it where the Jeep still won't start.
Yeah.
So you get that fun little joke at the end. But yeah, I mean, overall, like, Charlie's solid, and I'm glad it was a Charlie episode if you're going to have them stuck like this.
Yeah, for
the
sure.
The weird thing is, like, not giving us any reason for them to be out in the woods or wherever they were going.
Yeah, the only thing that weirded me out is it sounded like they were going somewhere else to stay that was not camping in the woods, and yet they have all this camping in the woods gear.
Well, that could be the type of thing, though, where when you live in that area and you drive through there a lot, you just have a bug out bag. You have camping gear in your vehicle at all
times.
That's true. Like, I know people that do that. I know people that have just a quick tent and like basic camping gear, so if something happens or if they feel like it, they can just go. And, you know, it could be the type of thing where, oh, we've got to go over the mountain, you know, make sure you got your survival gear type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we don't know where they were going to be out in the middle of the mountain like that. They mentioned, I think, what was it? Olympia or something. Like, they were going to stop at a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, apparently none of that's important information for us as an audience to know. So they're just there,
right.
But Yeah, you know, it would have been nice to see Joe, but he really had no reason to be in this episode because they're not anywhere near the town and there's no other immortals involved, so wouldn't have done any good. But yeah, Charlie's good once again. Phil Aiken and Adrian Paul have a good friendship chemistry, so I'm good with that.
Yeah, they really do.
Who the hell are you?
Duncan MacLeod. I was wondering if we could talk.
About what?
But an Indian woman and a baby.
Where are they?
So there is no other immortal in this episode. Thusly, there is no final fight or quickening to talk about. We'll just dive into our final thoughts on the episode. Yeah. And
they don't even try to throw one in a flashback or anything. Like, they were just like, yeah, let's just not do it at all.
Yeah, pretty much. So the episode is fine. Like, it's there. It's not good. It's not bad. Like, it's not objectively bad like some episodes that we've seen, but it's not good. It's not memorable. Yeah. Like, I barely remembered this episode when I started watching it. You know, I'm fine with them breaking from the normal formula of not having an immortal, but there's also no stakes for Duncan or Charlie in the episode, if you really think about it. Like, if you kind of break it down, Duncan's never going, like, has nothing to worry about here. Because even if those guys shoot him, he'll be back. Charlie never even meets any of the Hoskins boys. They barely see him.
Till the very end when they clock him.
Yeah, until Billy punches him. There's no stakes for Charlie. So you're never feeling like your protagonists are in any kind of danger. Sarah is too one-dimensional. She's not given the twist of it's not her baby is revealed so late in the episode. And it has so little bearing on what's happened up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like it was a twist for the sake of a twist, and it didn't land. And then the uneven characterization of Avery Hoskins. Billy is the only consistent one of the Hoskins boys. He's just a dick from the beginning
who
apparently wants money. But that was also like the whole mine angle of things is a needless subplot, right? Because who cares? Who cares if you're not going to give us any backstory to anything else? Why do we care that there was a mine causing mercury poisoning? All they have to do is say that this woman lost her child and blames Avery and took his. That's as much as we need, and we get the same amount of stuff without the dumb subplot of the brothers fighting over it, and then he shoots his brother and blames it on someone else. Like,
right. And that one really came out of nowhere too. And I was like, what the heck? Like,
yeah,
we know their brother's fighting, but there's nothing that tells me that one brother is just going to straight up kill the other one because it's that important. It's like,
right. Exactly. Okay. It feels like there's a whole lot of show that we're missing. There's a whole lot of backstory we didn't get. And with it not being filled in, it just feels flat. So, you know, it is what it is. It really served to be an episode just to hammer home the fact that Duncan can't have kids. That's his thing throughout the entire episode. And, you know, that whole aspect of the Highlander lore is rather boring anyway, because can't have kids. Boom, done. If it's a situation where having kids is part of the plot because of who he's dealing with in a personal relationship, if it was something with Tessa early on or some love interest that he has, that's a different story altogether. But this feels like it's ooh, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah,
Duncan can't have kids. He's sad. Like, that's all it was.
Right.
And
pretty much.
So, yeah, it feels less like a Highlander episode than other episodes that we've seen because of that, because really largely Duncan and Charlie aren't important to the plot that's they're trying to tell.
Yeah.
Like, anyone could have been there, and it would have been the same episode.
And there was nothing in a flashback that connected to this episode, really, that would have made a difference. Like, that's the only other time that it's a really good Highlander episode without another immortal, is when you have flashbacks that really mean something to what's going on, you know, currently. And we didn't have that at all. We had one tiny little flashback that just barely touched on the subject of, again, Duncan can't have kids. Sad day.
Yep. Yeah, because there was a baby in the episode, the flashback dealt with Duncan and not being able to have kids, and that's it. That's the whole connection. So it was pointless. The episode really goes nowhere. There's no there's no real resolution at the end, and none of it's ever spoken of again. Like, none of this, the police are never involved. It's like, it feels like 48 hours that didn't have to happen.
Yeah, the police are never involved. Everybody's okay. And then, oh wait, Sarah's a chick in a bucket, because we never see what happens to her at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. The only, like,
Yep,
they did do the tried and true Highlanders the series thing, which was somebody falling from a great height, and we're going to watch him go all the way down and hit the ground. We are going to watch that dummy hit the damn ground.
Yep.
Once again. And every time I see it, it doesn't matter. Every time I see it, I'm just like, it amazes me that they would still do that. I don't know. I don't know why. But, you know, not a bad episode objectively, but not good. Another thing I noticed in this, and maybe, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but holy cow, did this guy like his Dutch angles. Did you notice how often that camera was tilted? Like, there were so many Dutch angles in this. I think Kenneth Branagh was even like, dude, straighten the camera out. Come on. Give us a normal shot here. Like, everything was...
Yeah.
Those work when you use them right.
Mm-hmm.
Sparingly. Sparingly and for a reason. And neither of those things were done here. They were just like every other shot was at a Dutch angle.
It was like the director of photography knew there wasn't much to the script. So it was like, let's try and make this visually interesting.
We got to do something to make this look better. Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know, though. I want a scene of watching Charlie climb that damn tree. That's what I want to see.
That was the one interesting thing I made a note of, just the tree angle. And that it's like, okay, that doesn't look like the way you'd look where you'd be looking from climbing down a tree, but I get what you're doing there.
Yeah, that shot was, you know, that was fun. That was basically, that felt like somebody's like, ooh, we've got this, we can make this look like it's a POV as he climbs down the tree, but then Charlie comes from the side of camera into frame at the end of it, which was weird.
But I half expected Charlie to fall, break his leg, and that be part of what they were dealing with throughout this episode.
Yeah, you could have done that. That might have made things more interesting. I don't know. Because that tree didn't look like it was big enough to climb in the first place. Like, it was not a large tree, and Charlie is not a small person.
Right.
So, yeah. But, I mean, whatever. It is what it is. Like, it's a solid episode. And I wouldn't even call it a solid episode. It's an episode. You can skip it. You're not going to miss anything if you're watching. Literally has no bearing on anything going forward.
I think the word we've said repeatedly that fits this episode best is it's flat. It's a flat episode.
It is very much. It's flat. It's like an old can of Coke. It's flat. So we record Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/TV's Travis. If you want to be like Hammer Dwarf or Ender or Nisbit and hang out in the chat room and yell stuff at us, let us know how things are going. That's always fun. We love to see people in the chat room. The show comes out on Thursdays. You can find it anchor.fm/Let's Watch Highlander. It's also available on all the podcasting platforms. If you listen to the show and you enjoy it, and you want to help us out, one thing that you can do is leave us a review. That makes us discoverable to more people. So to get more people interested in watching Highlander. And look, Highlander, the series, if you're in the U.S., is available on IMDb TV for free. You don't have to have a subscription to anything. You can watch it. You're going to have some limited commercials, but they're like 3 60-second commercial breaks. It's nothing.
And some of them aren't too bad.
Yeah. I've definitely dealt with a lot worse, but it's also completely free, and the whole series is there. So if you want to watch it and follow along with us, you can do it there. And just leave us a review and make the show more discoverable for people. So next week we have Unholy Alliance Part 1. Ooh. And just a little teaser for this, we have the return of Xavier St. Cloud in this episode. Ooh. So should be a good one. This is a two-parter, and we're at kind of our mid-season point, so I believe this two-parter is what is written to get Duncan back to Paris.
Okay.
So I believe that's how it'll end. Unholy Alliance, Part 1, next week.
Nice.
Let's Watch Highlander. So until then, remember that there can be only one Trout with Jam.
Yeah.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.